Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we have a very special
Boker or
Nochri Shilvat Yisrael al Chimtzo achar Pesach Mutar Bana. Yisrael Shilvat Nochri al Chimtzo achar Pesach Asur Bana. Ooh, boy, does this raise issues. So over here, a goy lends money to a Yisrael. And the chametz is basically his security, which he's going to collect from if the Jew doesn't pay up. Then it turns out that if he doesn't pay up, indeed, it's mutar b'hana'a. And it was not considered a mitzvah. Another Jew wants to eat it, there's no problem of chametz avar alav pesach. And this is strange, because one would think that during the time at which the loan wasn't as yet due, it certainly belongs still to the Yisrael, so how could it be mutar b'hana'a? All kinds of questions here. Well, we're going to have to talk about where the chametz was. We're going to have to talk about whether a person, when he collects, does he collect retroactively. We're going to have to talk about conditions in which he stipulates the collection is from today, if and when you don't pay up, and other issues of the same. So this is a very rich mishnah again. And the opposite is true. If a Yisrael lends money to a goy, and the chametz serves as security, then after Pesach, this is considered to be chametz shavar lava Pesach, despite the fact that it hadn't been collected during Pesach, which is a little bit strange. So let's see what the cases are. Itzma. Before we even get to our mishnah, we want to raise the most evident question, which is bal chov, somebody who is owed money. When he collects security, at what point is the collection considered to be his? Rabbi Omer lamafreya hu goven. This seems to be the machloket that would have direct application to our Mishnah. According to Abaye, when you collect, you're collecting retroactively. So that means, if we understand that the Mishnah is talking about that in both Reisha v'Seifa, the lender never paid, so then what it is that was the security belonged, the borrower never paid, belonged to the lender from the beginning. So then it makes sense. The Nochri lent to the Yisrael, so then the Chometz turns out to belong to the Nochri because it's as if he collected Lamafreya. Huh? That would make sense. Which is how we could say otherwise in light of the Mishnah, but then of course we're going to see. Well, let's see. What does it even mean when you say in advance? Let's see first what it means. Rava says, look, at the point that you collect, and that's when it's yours. Now, the question is this. I mean, when we say it's goveh, exactly what do we mean by goveh? Let's say in a case where kol hecha da agdish lova, the zovin lova, let's first make it clear that if the lender uses the security to make, he makes it hegdish, or he sells it, that is not the issue that they're arguing about. In that case, clearly, the lender can come and collect, despite the fact that the borrower went ahead and made it covered. The borrower went ahead and sold it to somebody else, because it certainly was not his to ignore the shibut. Right? There was a lien on this. Forget about whether it's his or not. That's not the issue. Certainly the monetary value within it is now leaned to somebody else, and you can't just ignore that. Now, even though there is a rule that hegdash actually cancels pre-existing shibudim, there are certain things that do cancel something that had been used in the burial of a mate, for instance. You cancel the shibud on it, you don't dig up the grave. You know. But this is not called the hegdash that cancels shibud. The hegdash that cancels shibud is hegdash haguf. Somebody made a korban out of something. But if you're just giving the money to hegdash, then technically speaking, hegdash has nothing in it, because it wasn't yours to give to hegdash. The only thing that we say is, because people don't know of the lien in something that's metaltolin, so what we do is give some money, a dime, give them money, so people will see an exchange took place, that the hegdash goes out, so no one will think you can take hegdash without a pigyon. So you put a little bit of money into it. In that case, Ati Malveh, the Malveh lender, could come along with Parik, and he could be podel, but this is just a formal pigyon. In reality, it never belonged to hegdash. The Tznan Mosif Od Dinar, Upodel, and Nefasim, in a case very much like this in the Mishnah, where somebody who had a leaned metatomer, the karka used to have. The Kipligin, the Zavin Malve, the Kaddish Malve. The question over here is, the lender went ahead and sold it to somebody, or the lender went ahead and made it Kodesh, and now when in fact it's his, because the borrower never pays, time goes by and now he collected it. So the question is, at the time that he made it Kodesh, was it indeed his, since it now turns out that retroactively the guy never paid? The lien was actualized. So at what point is it considered to be his? So Abaye says, the mafreya hu goveh, it was considered to be his retroactively. Because given the mata zim nevelo parei, because it turns out that the lender never paid, it's now clear that he claimed the mafreya, the beikara, v'shapir zovin. It's now clear that all along, the money that was due him was here in this thing, and therefore when he made it Kodesh, it was his own thing that he made Kodesh.
Lender
here made it Kodesh. Second case here is lender makes it Kodesh. Borrower never paid. So it's clear that when the borrower gave him this to collect from, it was indeed at that point collected. In other words, he never ended up paying, and therefore this was his all along.
Borrowers.
The lenders. When the borrower
does...
It was the borrower's. The borrower gave it to the lender as security. And now he never paid. So the question is the security considered to be basically the lender's from the beginning? Because it turns out that there never was any payment. So then his lien was actually more than a lien, because in its eventual actualization, it's now clear there wasn't really a lending, waiting, and payment. There was basically an exchange. You gave me this, and I gave you the money for this. In which case, as a buyer, it's the equivalent of a purchase, so it's his. V'rava amar mikan ala abahu gover. Rava says that's impossible. Because bottom line is, given that you have a zuzi, have a misalik lu bezuzi. If you own something, then somebody can't force you to sell it. But if I, the lender, have money until the date that I, the cutoff date for repayment comes, I could give you money. The borrower, sorry. The borrower has money. I can come and give it to the lender and say, I want that. So how could it possibly be his if I, the borrower, could take it from him? All I have to do is give him money. I couldn't do that in any other circumstances, so it's clear it isn't really his to be able to show late on it. He can't control it. And therefore, it's clear, it says Rava, that the moment that the date passes, ishtakach tahashtu the konkani. It's only at that moment that he really has a kinyan on it, because kinyan implies control that can't be removed forcibly from me. Over here, the borrower could remove my control. Now, the question is, did Rava really say that? Because we have another psak of Rava that stands against these words. So here Rava is saying that even though a borrower never pays up, what it is that was given to the lender, security, does not belong to the lender until the moment that the time passes for him to pay, right? And here the question is like this. This is a rather fascinating case, but we need to pay close attention. Rava Rami Bar Chama, and Rava is going to get involved in this. Ruvain, Shemachar Sadele Shimon, and he sells this field ba'achrayut. So Reuven has a field. He guarantees to Shimon. Achrayut is basically title insurance. In the Gemara, standard sales place the responsibility of insurance of title on the seller. So in other words, if anybody comes along and collects this field because there was a lien on it, at any point up, some lien on this that removes it from the reshus of the buyer, then the seller guarantees to compensate him for his losses and get his money back. Now, here, the problem is that the field was never paid for. Shimon didn't have any money, but what he did was, is he made a loan out of the money that he owed him. In other words, instead of saying, there's a difference between owing money on a purchase, it wasn't a mortgage because it wasn't directly linked to the land, but it was a loan. So in other words, he's saying, okay, I received the money, and you owe me X number of dollars. There's differences between loans, that's the Shemitah. That's the difference in a loan. If it's a loan, it's canceled. If it's a debt for something taken, then it's not canceled. I didn't pay you for something I bought from you, I have to pay you. It's only if Zakvan Alav Bimilva, so it has a different quality for many halachas.
The seller says, I got the money and you owe me X amount of money.
Correct. The sale is complete, in other words. That's what he's saying. The sale is complete, but now you owe me money. Now what happens is that the seller, Reuven, dies, and it turns out that there was a lien, in fact, from Reuven's lifetime, that he did not pay off. He died before he had a chance to pay the guy off. And now the guy comes. The children of Reuven say, look, we don't have any land, and our father's bank accounts are not meshuvah to you, so we have no intention of paying you, because you told me you only have to pay from karka. So they don't pay. The guy who now had a lien on this field for the loan that he had lent to Reuven, who is now deceased, goes ahead and collects the field from Shimon. And he's about to take over title from the Shimon. So Shimon says, okay, look, I'll make a deal. And I'll pay you.
Field.
No, I'll pay you money. I want to keep the field.
Right.
I'll pay you. V'yata Shimon upaisi bezuzi. So now Shimon figures that all he has to do is he'll use the money that he was going to pay up Reuven. And we hear Reuven's heirs for the field that he bought. And he'll say, what the heck with it? I have to take the money, pay up. The guy who was going to take the field from me. And that was money that you owed, but you weren't going to pay because you didn't have a field to pay it. So I'm certainly not going to pay you now. I have to pay the money that I was going to pay your father. I have to pay to this guy to keep the field. Dinahu, in terms of the legalities, this is a complex case, in terms of the legalities of the situation, B'nei Reuven can come along at the sage to Shimon, look, Anan metatale shavak avun gabach. As far as we're concerned, we have only bank accounts. Our father didn't leave us any money, any property. We are not responsible for paying up a balchov. But you are responsible for paying your debts, and therefore, where is the money? The Omar Rava, and Rava says, what? Wait a minute. The Omar Rava, Rava says, this is true. And if Shimon has a lousy lawyer, he's going to be in big trouble. But if he has a good lawyer, there's a very simple way out of this. Epikeach Shimon. If Shimon is smart, what he will do is he'll say, well, I unfortunately don't have any money, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to pay you with property. So then he pays the Yitzonim, he pays the heirs of Reuven with the property that had been sold to him. Okay, at that point he has property. They have property. He now sues them for the debt that the father owes for the title insurance and the property that he was sold. And he says to them, I know you have property. Amazing. I have a lien against that property. So I think I will take it. Okay. So now he goes and collects it. Why? The owner of Nachman, Yitzonim shegavu karka b'chovat avihem, you can't say, you see, that this is a case in which the karka was now purchased after the death of the father, in which case there's no lien on it. Because what Nachman said, that if property is collected in lieu of cash that was owed to a father, then that collection is actually viewed as having been inherited from the father. So therefore it's the father's property, and now any bal chov of the father, people that the father owes money to, can now go and collect that property, even though it was collected after the death of the father. Because they could say, look, this is coming from your father. Your father owed us money. He left you property. Because you only have this property because of a debt that he left you that you collected. So now we're going to collect from that property. Now in this case, it happens to be that it's the same bal chov that allowed the property to be collected, who is now a bal chov to collect the property from them. But this way, what happens is Shimon gets his field, ends up having paid the money, but paid the money directly to the guy who wanted to collect the field from him. And it all boils down to the same thing, as long as he's got a good lawyer. If he doesn't have a good lawyer, the idiot will pay the money, then he'll come and demand the money back, because after all, the father owes money. He'll say, we don't have any property from our father, so we can't pay you, really sorry. And they walk laughing all the way to the bank. Okay, so it's very important that he make sure to say, I don't have any money, I'll have to pay back property.
The first balchov got paid, or not?
Shimon paid the original balchov, the guy who had a lien on the property from 10 years before, before even the sale.
So he
doesn't suffer any loss. He never paid a dime for the property.
The debt
that he owed Reuven for the property, he paid to the balchov.
But he did that before he gave back the property.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not connected.
It's not connected. Okay. Other than the fact that it catalyzed the debt of the title insurance, which they can now collect, though. Because after he gives back the property in lieu of the money that he owed for the property, he now comes along and says, you know, your father owes me money. Here, I have title insurance. And I have to pay this. So where's the title? They say, well, we didn't have any property to collect from. He said, that's odd, because I see that field right there. So they said, well, we just got that. Ah, but you got it because of a collection of a debt that was owed your father from his lifetime. And Nachman says, that kind of collection is still can be collected from. It happens to me, and he puts on his next hat, right? It happens to me that now I'm the guy that your father owes money to, so I'm going to collect this. Actually, if you have a good lawyer, you could probably do without all the rigmarole and just cut it at the early stage.
Fine. If you could keep the property without paying the money to the
end. That would be nice.
If you give back...
No, he can only collect, but he can only collect the title insurance because he paid it.
Yeah, wait a minute. But if you give back the property...
To the person who sold it to you?
The balchov.
No.
The balchov then takes the property in lieu of...
That's right. They'll take it anyway from the Yitzhak.
Anyway.
But then you won't have it.
But then can't I go to the... You know, there's no way that I can put a lien on that...
Well, I already gave the property back because I didn't have the money. So I already paid it with this property. So this is the... He comes out with any loss, basically.
So basically, that loss is the balchov's...
Balchov has his money.
The amount of money he's owed to him was less than or roughly equal to...
Whatever. I mean, he only could lean...
He has to owe it on the field.
Well, it has to be that. You can't have a lien that's greater than the...
Yeah. So the first Balchov ceded the loan to Shimon, basically. So he got the rights to the property, but the initial Balchov was that. Is that what happened?
No. It's not really what happened.
So how did Shimon then go and say...
Shimon, what Shimon did is basically bought him off.
Yeah, he bought him off. And then, so then how did he still have a claim on the land?
Because since the land, the reason he needed to buy him off was a pre-existing lien.
Yeah.
He can say the pre-existing lien your father guaranteed against. And you owe me money for it. What you're suggesting comes up later, which is Shibudadur. We'll see about that. That changes the whole mechanism here. We'll get into that in a moment. Okay, now, so far, this seems pretty straightforward. Only thing is that Rava is saying over here, now, Iyamrit Bishleim Elamah Freyahu Gova. You see, this whole thing only works if we view the collection as being retroactive. So then, Amtalachi Chosergo Veotam Mehen. Here it's as if his father, the heir's father, owned this property while he was alive, because now we view it as a retroactive collection, and therefore I can go back with my next hat and collect it and say to them, this was owned by your father before he died. But if you hold, like what Rava said a moment ago, that collection only takes place at the moment that it's collected. At the moment that it's collected, the father is dead, and it's been collected by the heirs, and the heirs don't have to pay with property that they buy. Let's say they went out and bought property. So you can't come along and say, aha, I know you have property. Your dad owed me money. Say, excuse me, I bought this property for my own money. What do you mean your own money? You inherited that money from your father. That's not your business where I got my money from. So it must be, therefore, that this property was viewed as being owned before. But Rava himself is the one who kept saying, well, no, you don't really own property that you have a lien against. Only when it's actually collected. If it's actually collected, the lender's dead.
Let me understand something. Let me bring it back. What would happen if there wasn't a Baal Chov to begin with? And after Reuben died, his kid said, give us either the money that you owe us or the property.
Or the property. Fine.
So he gives you back the property. Right. Can you then use the lien and say...
Which lien?
The insurance.
Against your own collection?
Insurance, yeah.
I didn't insure you against your not paying. I insured you against somebody taking it from you when you pay. Yeah. All right. So although, when we get to Nezikin, we'll see if we can figure out some sneaky... I see that you've been working on your taxes. I can see what's on your... The truth is, a good Gemara cup ought to be able to outdo the IRS anyway. Fine. So now, the problem is that according to Rova, if the Yitomim are only getting this piece of property after their father's death, if they had gone out and bought a piece of property, could somebody demand that to collect the debt against their father from their property? Of course not. So Rava seems to be contradicting himself. Does he hold them up for Yehugov, or does he hold Mikana Labaugov? Says the Gemara. Now, wait a minute. You're forgetting something, that there's something unique about this case, you see. Shani Hata. The Amar Lahu, he can say to them, even though they can claim that we just received this piece of property, and therefore you can't collect from it, here he says back to them, now that's a very smart thing, except that you forget that ki hefet mishtabadna le'la avuchon, mishtabadna nami le'balchov de avuchon. You see, the problem is that in the same way that there is a shibud to your father, there is a shibud directly to the balchov of your father, mit Rabbi Natan. This is called Shibudah to Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan holds like this. Rabbi Natan omer, minayin l'noshe b'chaveiro mona, b'chaveiro b'chaveiro, shemotziim mizeh v'notnin lezeh, Talmud lomar v'natan la'asher asham lo. Now, since the Torah says, unnecessarily, to pay up money to the one that you owe the money to, I mean, who else would I think I should pay up? Chilek u'bilek. Therefore, says Rabbi Nas, no, what it's saying is that you can pay the one to whom the money is ultimately owed to. That's the point. So even though you might have thought that technically speaking, each transaction has to go through whatever level that the transaction define it. So I have to pay you, then the other guy has to go and collect from him, and so on and so forth. Shibudah Rabbi Nas says you can ignore everything in the middle.
Cut out the middleman.
Take the shibud that went from A to B, where there's a separate shibud of B to C, and let A go to C directly. That means the shibud goes to C directly. So even though it's Mikano Abo who go there, nonetheless, this particular case is different. Because the fact is that the shibud on this piece of property from this particular guy who lent your father money, that was a shibud to me, right? In other words, whatever shibudim existed, there's a shibud directly to anybody who was a lender to your father. So anybody that owed your father anything would have owed me something. Isn't that true? So guess what? I owed your father something, so that means I owe it to myself. I just have different hats. I mean, what's the difference if it's somebody or it's me? You would agree that somebody could take it directly from me because I owed him and your father owed him, right? Fine, very good. So in this particular case, I changed my hat, I jumped into the other position because I'm the guy that your father owed money. And since the guy that owed your father, oh, in this case, whoops, that was me with that first hat, paid your father, the truth is, instead of paying your father, why doesn't he just pay the guy your father owed money to? Which is, whoops, me with my other hat. So I think what I'll do is, I'll just pay me. Thank you very much. Right? This is what you were thinking before, I think, right? This is the way you would say that. He's basically just standing now in situ with this other guy. And now we can just ignore the whole thing. Because he owes himself money. That's what it boils down to.
It's kind of money laundering sort of thing.
No. No, it's just an analysis of that liens don't... Liens are not excuses for legal actions. Liens are definitions of ultimate ownership. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, I don't need to go through the step and then to have a guy turn to me in the middle and say, well, it ends here because you can't collect the next piece. There was a shiva directly to him. So we don't need you, Bichlal. I owe me money. That's what it boils down to.
Oh,
that's a problem. Tosis wonders if that's the case. Well, how did this get into the whole karka issue? If it's shiva or the nasa. A lot of discussion of what Tosis is trying to say. But Tosis here suggests, I mean, it's a shita of the re, that you can only say in this case on something which is shayach the shiva. Then it's as if it's yours already. Otherwise, it doesn't help the fact that you owed the money because you need to be collecting on the shiva. If it just owes money, then how did you collect it? Where's the mechanism of collection? But as I say, this is like an issue that isn't really... What we need is an excuse for why we need karaka. But given that there's such an excuse, and that the shibud is required, we see why we have a right to ask it on Rav, and then when we get to the sukkis and the about mitzvah and so on, then we'll figure out why it's true.
That's what the Inkel has to do to the yeshivot.
Sorry?
That's what the Inkel has to do to the yeshivot. They say, oh, you haven't paid your tax for the workers, and you get money from Shabbat.
We'll just collect from you.
They collect from Shabbat.
So why don't we do that when it comes to the Arab taxes to pay back the poor electric company that is owed over 50 million shekel? That I still can't figure out. Fine. Okay, so in this case, I am going to collect from myself. Now, obviously all of this has been in anticipation of the delicious question from our Mishnah. What is this machlokas all about? It says the Feirush in our Mishnah. It's not. Now, there's no way to get out of this one, I don't think. It says over here that a Jew who took a loan from a goy, and the chometz of the Jew was now the security for that loan, now the only possible way to be mutar bana'a is if it belonged to the goy all along. So that must have meant the lemafreya who goveh. Otherwise, so Rava seemed to. How could anybody say mikana alhabu goveh? Rava is in direct opposition to a Mishnah. So iamrit bishleim lemafreya who goveh. Okay, I'm tolachim mutar bana. If the collection is retroactive, so all along it belonged to a goy, and the goy's chometz is not also achshav alav apesa. Iamrit mikana alhabu goveh. I don't understand. Amay mutar bana. All through Pesach, it was berishut to the Yisrael Avikoy. It's only now after Pesach, at one point or another, that the Goy is able to collect it, and now it's legally his. But at that point, it was already Asur Ba'ana'ah. It doesn't become Anasur Ba'ana'ah just because the Goy buys Chomer Shavu Lava Pesach. So what are we going to do? Says the Gemara, we got a whole different issue here. The whole different issue is, it was made a mashkon, not simply security. It was given to him to hold. Now, that raises, opens up a whole different can of worms. Because there we have a question as to whether mashkon belongs to you. And the reason that is more complicated than the simple issue of whether you're kone security is because of a posik. The posik says that in a case where you collected a mashkon from a poor man, and the poor man, the mashkon happens to be his pajamas. So he has nothing to sleep in. So the Torah says, the poor guy, the ma'ishkav, it will be a charitable act of yours if you give him back his pajamas every night and he brings them back to you in the morning. So that way you have your security because it's defined as your pajamas, but at least let the guy sleep in his pajamas. So the deal is, if it's charity, then it must be that it's mine. Because otherwise it's not charitable, it's just his pajamas.
Why did he use rishus?
Because that way I don't need to go to court. I don't need to go to court to collect it if it's my rishus. If it's clear that the guy comes and asks me for the pajamas, then that means it's mine. If he wants to get it back, he'll have to prove that he paid the loan, not I'll have to prove that he didn't pay a loan. So I don't want to go through the collection process. I want it now, mine. Say, in between, the guy has, it's not time for him to pay. Fine, so be a good sport. But problem is, it doesn't say be a sport. It says, l'chati yatzidakah. So that means that the Torah views it as my own. I'm doing charity with it. So now that raises the question as to whether a mashkon is an actual kinyan, even though a lien may not be a kinyan. There are two different issues. Of course, we're mechalek as well between mashkanta, which has elements of collection in it, but it's gavui. That's why a bank clearly prefers a mashkanta to a general lien against a person, right? So this way they have his kids too. Only this way. So now, lechora, that would be dependent. This whole sugya now, says the Gemara, ought to be really a machloket tanoim. Lema ketanoim. It would certainly appear that there's a machloket tanoim about that question. Because look, here it says, Yisrael she'ilva lenochri alchimso, le'yachra pesach eino over. So if the Yisrael had lent the money to the Nochri, and now the chometz of the Nochri is security, so then achra pesach eino over. Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, Kein Over. Now, Lechora, what's the machlokes? Is here my lab, but it's okay. Mar Savar Lamafrea who go there. Mar Savar Mikana Laba who go there. And therefore, it actually turns out that there's a machlokes tanoim about the issue that Abaye and Rava were discussing all along. And fine, if we have a Mishnah or we have a Shita somewhere, we now understand who holds what.
This is in the case of Mishkanta, this last one.
No, this is Stam Gvia. We're going to change it in a moment to be Mashkon, not Mashkon, Mashkon. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. That's very simplistic to think that that's the Machlokas. Because if that were the Machlokas, what would be the din in the opposite case? Where the Nochri had lent the money to the Yisrael? The din would be the opposite. Right? In other words, if the question is when you're paying a Mashkon, stop that. If the Machlokas is when Balkovis go there, so then if the Balkovis go to the Mafreya, so then the Goy own the Chometz L'Mafreya, if it's the Goy who lent the money. Or the Yisrael was go over the Chometz L'Mafreya if the Yisrael lent the money. Then Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim would simply reverse Shittas. The problem is, they don't reverse Shittas. Then obviously something is wrong. V'tizbro, with your simple explanation of the Machlokas, how do you explain the Sefer? Avol Nochri, Shilvali Yisrael, Al-Chimtso, if, however, the Goy was the one who had lent the money, then Le'achra Pesach Tibriya call over. Everybody is Moda. That this is Chometz Rav Alav HaPesach. How could that be? All that they should do is have the same Achlokas in reverse. All that it should say is the opposite. That the Mandion Asam Eino Over. If you held in the opening case like the Chachomim that Eino Over, so then in this case, Hacha, it would be Over. Because it wasn't collected until the end. Laman the Amar Hatam Over. So Hacha Eino Over. All we need to do is to change the Shita. Obviously, there's another operative element over here that you're ignoring. Ela, we have no choice to say, but that rather this case is talking about, both the opening case, the second case, it's talking about that you in fact put it in the reshus of the lender as a mashka. And the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakam is a fascinating machlokas. They're arguing about the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the famous shita of Rabbi Yitzchak is as follows. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know that a lender actually owns a mashkon? When you give the guy back his pajamas, you're doing charity. What's the charity? It's not yours to do charity with. Therefore, must be, if it would have said, be a sport, don't worry about the collection and everybody, be one thing saying it's charity. In other words, it's really yours. So if that's the case, it must be that you're konas yourself. Why then does the Tanakama say, if he agrees with this, why does the Tanakhama say La'achra Pesach Eino Over, despite the fact that the Nochri had given it to the Yisrael and it was a mashkin of the Yisrael, it should become a Chavala Pesach? Why does the Tanakhama then argue? He agrees in the Sefer, I mean, that it works that in the Reish that it works that way, because he says like this: the Pesach is only talking about one Jew to another Jew, right? So it's saying a Jew should do tzedakah to another Jew. The Torah is not mechayev to do tzedakah with idolaters. In which case, Hanimil Yisrael mi Yisrael hu dekarina bei ulechati yetzedaka, avo Yisrael mi Nochri. Since we don't have the chidush of lechati yetzedaka, we don't have proof that you own it. So if you don't own it, why would it become aser after Pesach? Works beautifully. Rabbi Meir is just the opposite. It's a kal v'chomer. If I own a mashkin that I'm taking from a Yisrael, The Torah should give less rights to a Jewish lender to a goy than it gives to a Jewish lender to a Jew. Why? So Yisro mi Yisro kakani. So Yisro mi nochri lo kol shekei. Don't look at the charitable issue. Look at what the charitable issue comes from. What a weird way, says Rabbi Meir, to understand the pasuk. That basically the Torah is interested in giving you opportunities to do charity. So therefore it says, if a Jew borrowed it from you, so then I'm going to give it to you, but only to do charity with. But if you took it from a nochri, since you don't need to do the charity, I won't bother giving it to you. Why don't we take for granted that the Torah is giving us a din? You own it. Now, I want you to do charity with it. But you tell me, if I don't have to do charity with it, then I don't own it. I don't understand what that means. It's a very, very different way of looking at the pasuk, says Rebbe. Therefore, it should be a kal vachomer. But in the second case, nochri shilva Yisrael, there the nochri is lending money. So over there, divrei hakol over. Why? Because the only way that you would not be over is if the nochri owned the mashkan. But we don't have any indication that a nochri owns a mashkan. The only indication we have is that a Yisrael owns a mashkan. So there everybody is mother that over, because hatam vadei nochri mi Yisrael lo kani. There's no, certainly not a kal vachomer. There's certainly no reason to say that it gave the same rights. So even though I may not hold that the tzedakah is the reason for the kinyan, I still also have no reason to believe that this is a standing kinyan that the Torah will give in all cases of having made a loan.
The
Bagatz
would never approve.
Huh? The Bagatz
would never approve.
No, the Bagatz, oh my gosh.
Amen.
Now, it's not. Nochri shehil va.
Just one question about the Bagatz. Can the lender sell the pajamas of us? Are they fit?
No, that's not so posh. Here does it start to say that if you go for the mafreya, you could even sell? That's the case over here, that the malva sold and the malva was makdish. That was without the mashkin as a machlokas abaya v'rova. So what are you laughing about, that if you sold a mashkin that the person didn't pay for it, that then the mafreya, the mashkin is yours? The fact that somebody has a right to buy the mashkin from you by paying you back may be nothing more than a lien on a piece of property. What was the din if it wasn't a mashkin? It was just a general lien. And I, the lender, had sold your chametz. And now you pay me back. Nothing to do with Pesach. It's months before Pesach. Now you pay me back. And you say, how did you sell? I say, what do you mean? I hold like the man Yomar says, l'mafreya go back. You say, but I'm paying you back. Oh, okay, well, we'll have to collect them. All you're doing is raising the specter of what happens if the guy does pay. That's a beautiful specter, and we're going to see that we need it in this sugya, actually. Because, as our dear president points out, we've managed to completely ignore the question of, and what happened in the end? What we're saying, does that mean we're always taking for granted that nobody pays back the loan? Is that the point? That's a very contemporary way of reading the sugya. That's the old story of the Shibud and the Rebelsin, you know? The guy who spent his whole life going from one gemach to another. He got to be an old man. He called them all together and he says, look, what's the point of my going to this one? Spending a month and I'm going to the next one. You guys just contact each other. Every 12 months. No problem. So that we're going to talk about, dear president. But I see you're getting ideas. I see that glint. It's interesting that in the United States now, you can actually live that way. It's a fantastic thing. All the credit card companies, they offer you free credit on loan transfers. It's a wonderful thing. Right? You pay 0% on your loan, but they'll only do it for whatever, 6 months and so on. So you borrow, let's say, $100,000 on your credit card, on one credit card, at 18% interest. Oh, they're happy to lend you. Immediately transfer to the next credit card, who want you, or such a big borrower, would love to have you on their credit. So they'll give you 6 months of free credit. You then get another offer, so by the time the end of the period comes up, you transfer to the new credit card. And then basically you just keep going along because everybody's so happy that you keep paying up their debts. Because the next credit card company paid up the debt of the other one. 12 months later you go and get a new offer from the original company. I know lots of people that are living like this. I'm saying the old Gemara system has been taken over by the credit card companies. So
living on the interest.
It's also true. Sure, you take the interest. I give it to them. Okay, so... Fine. So this, we're going to have to work out, where will we get to our president's concerns? We're going to have to work out what Abaya does with this sugya, the way that we're learning it now. But first, let's just get it straight. So in that case, our Mishnah, which says, Nochri Shiva Yisrael Al-Kimtso, Achra Pesach Mutar Pahana'a. How does it work out now? Because even if we're going to learn, the Hinamidir Hino Etzlo, you say that he gave it into the Rishos of the Nochri. But I thought you just said that both the Tanakhama and Rebbe Meir agree that a Nochri Mi Yisrael Lo Kani, that the only time that the Mashkin is definitely a Kinyan is where it's a Jew who's being Kinyan. But a Nochri to be Kinyan from a Jew, at the moment that he gives him the Mashkin, nobody held up. So why does our Mishnah say the opposite of what it says here in the Bright and this Machloket? Here it says that Lemaisa, it's okay, and it's Mutar Bana. Why? Obviously because the Goy is considered to have owned it all Pesach. Why did he own it all Pesach? It belonged to the Jew. So you said because Yerino Etzlo, but I thought a Nochri isn't Kinyan even if it's Yerino Etzlo. So I don't understand now. But Nochri Mishra Lokani. Lokasha, wait a second. There's another understanding here that you're missing. We didn't talk about what would be if you stipulate that in the event of non-payment, that this is now yours from this point. You can legally stipulate that there's a retroactive collection. So it's talking about in the Mishnah, the Amar Lei Me'Achshav. At the point that he gave him the Mashkin, he said, look, if I don't pay you up by such and such a date, this is now yours. So if that's the case, there's no problem of coming trouble about Pesach, because if the Nochri lent money and the Jew gave him the Mashkin with this understanding and then doesn't pay back, so then now it belongs to the Nochri retroactively, even though normally you would say that it's only Mikana Laba, or you would say Balko Veino Kona Mashkin. Exactly. So you'll say, can you prove to me that Me'akshav is sufficient to actually change the Kinyan just because you stipulate? Indeed, yes, the Tanya. Nochri shirihin pat purani eitzel Yisrael. You know there? In a case, we have a big, gigantic, I mean, it obviously doesn't matter, but we're trying to talk about a normal case where somebody would lend money on pot. I mean, what are you going to give him a couple of pitot? Yeah, pot purani means a big, gigantic challah that you use for picking up ben, it takes up the whole table. And now, he's here, he needs a Yisrael, he gives it to the Yisrael, now it's a shi'ibud. So what happens over here is he's not over. But if he said he got tikha, now this he got tikha, we'll have to see what that means. But obviously we're going to show he's that he said you'll be coming from now. Then he is over. So what's this he got tikha? Maishna resha, maishna sefa. Ela lav shumamina, that the meaning is that shine hecha the omar le me'akshav lecha the lower omar le me'akshav. The only meaning of that he got tikha is it's yours. That's all that it means to say, not it's yours or will be yours, but consider it yours now if I don't end up paying. So apparently it makes a big nafkamina. Now, of course, this is a problem if you hold that the Balkov is Govah L'Mafreya, and that Abaye is going to have a problem with all of these cases. Why only if he said he got Tisha? Why Tishir? He knows it. That's where we get into the question of the difference between yes paying and not paying, which is the other element we never discussed. If in the end it is paid, what was the status in the interim? In those kind of cases, that may well be an afkamina, according to Abaya. But meanwhile, we see the things we need to take into consideration is at what point you collect a general shi'ibud. That was the opening. The second issue that we needed to discuss was what is the halakha of balchov kona mashkon in a case where it's Jew from Goy, or Goy from Jew, or Jew from Jew. So we had those three possibilities. The other issue that we need to talk about is whether he said me'achshav or not. And of course, the fourth issue is that in cases where the payment ultimately takes place, what was the status of Mashkin or Lien in the interim period? The last one we haven't yet dealt with, and that's what Tosfos uses to explain the Abaya conundrum, because the Gemara seems to have ignored it. And what are you going to do with this? Right? I'll give you a chance to review it before we... If you think about all of the issues that we've spoken about in this daf, we've dealt with a whole mesecta here, the chutz. We were talking about Shibud the Rebbe Nasan, and we're talking about the halach of Yisrael and Shikon and the Chosim Akram, and the Chosim that are kind of Bishibud Aviyem. I mean, it's like really wild stuff, Shmark. but it requires a little bit of review, I think. So therefore, must be, we'll talk about this case, is the Nafkamina on the Akshamana.
But
the Mishnah didn't say it. Okay, we'll review the Mishnah. We'll review the Mishnah after you get a chance to review it. All right, we'll talk about it after Shabbat, right after Shabbat. Tan Rabbanan, Chanut Shel Yisrael, Mlai Shel Yisrael, Poalei Nochrim, Nichlasim Lasham, Chametz Shenimtza Sham Achra Pesach, Asur Ba'anaha, Ein Tzarich Lomar Ba'achila. If you have a Jewish grocery store in which the Mlai, the stock in the store, is also owned by the Jew, and you've got non-Jewish workers that work there, and nonetheless any chametz found there is assumed to be from the store stock and is owned by the Yisrael. We do not assume that it came from something that one of the Goyish workers put into the shelves from his own stuff. And therefore, it's also about Chanut Shel Nochri. On the other hand, you have the building owned by a Nochri. It's stocked by a Nochri. And you have Jewish workers, Nechlasim Yotzim Lasham. Chamech Shenimtza Sham Achra Pesach is even Buter Vachila. The Ein Tzarich Lomar, Behana'a. Chamech Shenafla Lav Mapolet. You have now a building that collapses over Chametz. For all intents and purposes, it's the same as you having dumped it into the Yamanah. So you'll say, well, but still it's recoverable, you could bring bulldozers. Oh, it's Kimuvuan. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, it's only Koshein HaKelav Yacholach HaPesach HaRav. This is only if it's buried so deep that you don't have to be worried that an animal is going to dig it up, because after all, it has a smell and it's smart, it's going to attract animals. So it has to be buried in a way that a dog won't be able to sniff it out and dig it up.
What about not like a
why? That's a mitzvah.
Oh, in other words, you're not
if it's gone, yeah, it's fine.
In other words, you're not getting the mitzvah. But
right. That was our problem with why it said Yoshe Bubato. First of all, Yoshe Bubato. Amr of Kista, V'tzarech Sheyevatel B'libo. Now, this is strange. And in fact, it's a big machlokes for Rishonim how to understand it. You'll still have to do bittul. I mean, if it's kibavuah, what do I have to do bittul for? So Rashi learns you have to do bittul because maybe, in fact, it will become uncovered. It may bring bulldozers, whatever, clear up the thing. At which point, you'll have that instantaneous thought of, oh, I can recover. Oh, whoops. But by then it's too late, because you can no longer be mavato. So therefore, be mavato in advance, and then there won't be any problem. But others learn that when it said, areo kimavuar, it didn't mean it's kimavuar mina olam. It meant it's kimavuar that you're not mechuyev to go look for it. But you're only, and therefore you don't have to worry. I know I have chametz there. And I wasn't Mekai in my mitzvah of the B'dikas Chametz and so on. But it's still yours. You still need to do bittul. So the only question would be the shaila of whether it requires now the bittul. Certainly the Chachamim weren't Mekai of you to go ahead and to be Mevayer. The Nafkamina L'cha'ora would be if you didn't do bittul. If you learn that the Chiev is that it isn't really Mevuar and you didn't do bittul, then you have Chametz and your Rishur Zabbas, you're going to have to go get rid of it. To hire the bulldozer and go get it and burn it. But if it's right there in front of you, you know where it is. I know it's there. The building fell on it. If you hold it, Miikra, then it's Mubuar. It's just there's a chashash. As Raji says, what happens if it gets it? Obviously, you're not Mechuyev to go and to get rid of it. That would be the Pashtus and the Machlok. It's the way Magen Avraham understands it. It's better than Machlok. Others argue. But it's a simple way of learning the circuit. So Tzarech Shivata Beligo, Tanak Hamakafisat HaKelar, when we talk about a dog capable of digging something up, how deep does it have to be buried? Under how much rubble? Shloshat Tvachim. Omalei Ravacha Bereide Rav Yosef Ravashi, Hodi Omer Shmuel, Ksafim Enlem Shmira, Ela Bekarka. The only way to watch your money, keep it out of the bank. Dig a hole under it. Don't let them find out about this money. Put it under the ground. Now the question is, by the way, you should just know that Rav Moshe Zatzal Paskin, that nowadays the only shmir is in a bank. In other words, if somebody gives you money to watch, and you say, I've never put my money in the bank, I keep all my money in my mattress. So you put your money in the mattress, and then they steal the money. Yeah. The fact that that's the way you treat your money doesn't mean that that's the best shmir out for the money. He says, we're mechuyev, in fact, to put the money in the bank. And not, yeah. Huh? That's right,
it's a shmir. Isn't that like burying it in the hole?
Huh?
You put it in the bank, or bury it in the hole?
It depends what countries. So how about in that case when you have to dig a hole for your money? Does it have to be 3 tvachim deep or not? Or Marley, if it takes a human to smell out money, I mean, but as far as the dog is concerned, the dog isn't going to dig up the money. So when it comes to chametz, where it smells, Over there, binan shloshet vachet. But where it comes to money, all you need is kisuye. Ata mishum ichsuye me'enahu. What you need to do is make sure that it's not visible. You don't need to be certain that it will remain invisible. Three tvachim. The kama, what is considered to be a covering that's not going to allow it to show through eventually. Omarafim bar papa misichra, for the city of Sichra, tefach would be sufficient. Well, the truth is it isn't in a sense. And as Ramosha points out, this varies by social common practice. That's why he says nowadays people view a bank as being safer than burying it in your mattress. I see our president wants to leave and wants to know when to show up. Is it Kiryat Shimona this weekend? Is it no, it's Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Okay. So what time are we on? Okay, let's do our quick review. Nochri Shiovat Yisrael Al Chimtso Achra Pesach Mutar Bana Yisrael Shiovat Nochri Al Chimtso Achra Pesach Asur Bana Itma Baal Chol Vabai Omer Lamafriya Hu Gove Virav Omer Mikan Al Abba Hu Gove Kol Heitha Da Agish Love Vezavin Love Kuli Amalo Plige Diyati Malve Vitorif Diyati Malve Yupori Vizan Mosi Fodinaru Podeta Nefasim Ailu Ki Plige Vezavin Malve Vekadish Malve Bayom Lamafreya Hu Gove Since Kiva Demata Zimne Vavokore Igloi Milton Lamafreya Demikori Bershute Avikoi Vishapar Akin Vishapar Sabin. Whereas Rava says, no, Mikan Allah Bahu Gove Kivan Hil Havilek Zuzi Avim Misalik Lebe Zuzi Ishtak Avda Hashtu De Kokadi Umiyoma Rava Hoki Vama Rami Bar Kalma Ruuvein Shemakas Sadele Shimon Ba'akrayut Vizakhan Allah Bemilva Umeit Ruuvein Viata Baal Chol De Ruuvein Vitorif Lemi Shimon Vata Shimon Upaise Bezuzi Dinahu da'atu b'nei Reuven v'amr le'le Shimon anan metalte v'shava kavun gabach metalte v'liyat mila balchov lo mishtante v'yom ha'rava ipi keach Shimon magvilohu ara v'ad agov v'lo minayim v'yom reb Nachman yitomim shigavu karka v'chovat aviyem balchov chozer v'gova otam iyem. Now look, iyam et bishleim ala mafreya who go over the way Abaya was learning. That explains why amtul ha'achi chozer v'gova otam iyem, because it's as if the gova michayim v'yamu antami. I mean, he hamid bikad al abo gover, which Rava said, amay chozer v'gover al tami, and isn't it the same as if zavin yad bin yichse dami? And if Yisomim had gone out and bought their own land, mika v'shtavi l'bal chov? Now, shani atab domerle, ki echad v'shtabane le l'abuchon, v'shtabane nami l'bal chov de abuchon, min Rabbi Natan, v'tani Rabbi Natan omer, minay leno sheve chavero mone, v'chavero v'chavero, shemotziid mizev notim lezeh, therefore I think I shall just pay myself. How does Rav understand the Mishnah? Answers Rav for my skin and kishir ain't let slow. Let me get to know. Yisrael Shilva no Khriyal Kimso the Akra Pesach ain't over. Yishum Rabbi Meir Amru, over. My love, welcome, it's okay. Marsavar lemafreya ugover, umarsavar mikanalaba ugover. It is brought, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, Nochri Shiovali Yisrael al Kimso, Liakra Pesach Divrei Hakol over. Why? Or Ibchami Boile, Leman the Omar Hatam in over, Akra Ken over, Leman the Omar Hatam over, Akra in over. Ella, we've got to be talking about a case, I'm going to skin a good one, Shirhina it's low. The machlok is being in Rav Yitzchak. Yom Rav Yitzchak minayin lebal chov shekoneh mashkon shenem alokhati yet tzedaka imeinu koneh mashkon. Where's the tzedaka? So mikan lebal chov shekoneh mashkon. The time it kama holds, but that's only a Yisrael mi Yisrael. The karina be alokhati yet tzedaka av Yisrael mi nochri lo kani, and therefore it should be mutla akra pesa. Rabbi Meir says no, it's a kavachomer. If Yisrael is koneh even from Yisrael, so he's not going to be koneh from a nochri. Therefore, it's a Jewish karmitz during pesa, and it's asur. Abu Nochri, which is the second case, the Nochri Shilvat Yisrael Kimso, Akra Pesach Divrei Akolo there, that's because Hatam Vadai Nochri Yisrael Okoni, because the Torah never said Okoti Yetzidakah to the Nochri. Tonight, Nochri Shilvat Yisrael Kimso, Akra Pesach Mutar Bana'ah, even if we learn that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Irhino, it's low, that no longer helps us. Because now you're saying, Amrit, that a Nochri Yisrael, even so, is not Kona. Lokasha. From this point on, over, the Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Sefer, and a lot of Shmamina, Shiny, Hechad, Yamalin, Miacham, Lechad, Lo, Amalin, Achav, Shmamina. Tanar Rabbani, Chanucho Yisrael, Malaysha Yisrael, Upoale, Nochrim, Nichlasinashah, Chomet, Shinim, Tashem, Arab, Pesach, Atsur, Banaha, Vain, Sorek, Lomar, Bachila, Chanucho Nochrim, Malaysha Nochri, Upoale, Yisrael, Nichlasin, Yatsinashah, Chomet, Shinim, Tashem, Arab, Pesach, Mutar, Bachila, even, Vain, Sorek, Lomar, Bachila, Chomet, Shinafla, Lav, Mapole, Tarei, Hukim, Vua, Rabbit Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol she'ein hakelav yachol hachapes acharav, but otherwise not. Omrev Kistev, v'tzorek shivatil b'libo. Tana kam, rachafisat hakelav, shloshat vachim. Omrev Revaka, b'rei Rav Yosef, b'rei Rashi. So in that case, hod yom ha'shmuel, k'safim ein lehem shmira ala b'karka. Would you also have said shloshat vachim alo? Omalei hacha, mishum reicha. Therefore, the chomet b'nei shloshat vachim. Barata, mishum yetziya me'eina. Just a question of visibility. Hello, boy, and Shlosha. The Kama, Omarapa, Papa, Misichra, Tefak is enough to cover it.